Hello and welcome to the British Chambers podcast channel. We're delighted to bring you a second season of in-depth discussions and conversations with our members and high-profile speakers, ranging from topics like trade, fintech, arts, sports, and more within Singapore, ASEAN, and the UK. Thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast. We are excited to launch the Social Media Playbook, a brand new bite-sized podcast series by our Marketing and Communications Business Committee. In this series, we focus on the latest trends and features of current social media platforms, the do's and don'ts, and new developments to come in conversation with some of the leading players in the industry. Andrew Clark, co-chair of the committee and partner at creative video agency AsiaWorks, chats with industry leaders within the social media landscape as they share their tips, tricks, and advice for marketing and communication professionals. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of the Social Media Playbook podcast. I'm Andrew Clark from creative video agency AsiaWorks, and today we are joined by a guru in the world of digital marketing. It's Elizabeth Taylor. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we jump in, I'd just like to introduce you via your LinkedIn page, which says that you are a digital marketing trainer and consultant, an ACLP qualified trainer, corporate training, group workshops, and one-to-one digital marketing coaching. In the About section, it says, I am a passionate, enthusiastic, and qualified marketing trainer with over 24 years' experience in marketing training and execution. I love finding clarity in the ever-changing world of digital marketing and using this to educate professionals about tools and techniques they can use to grow their businesses. Well, that out of a lot of the LinkedIn profiles that we've seen on the series so far makes a lot of sense, but maybe you'd like to tell us a little bit more about what it is you actually do.
Sure. So first of all, thank you for having me on. I feel quite honoured to be in your guest list amongst heads of LinkedIn and TikTok. So thank you very much. So my name's Liz Taylor and I run a company called Digital Direction. And really the reason I set up the business was to provide direction, clarity and focus for entrepreneurs and small business owners to really help them grow their business with digital marketing. Certainly lots of people here in Singapore have started their own business, done an amazing job. They do everything from selling the products, the accounts, marketing, and they set up their websites and all of their channels. And I think sometimes it gets to that point where you just need a bit of help to get unstuck. Or you need a bit of help and direction to move your business to the next level. So that's where I come in. So I provide one-to-one training and also group workshops.
I think that's really, really relevant to lots of people in our community at BritCham, right? And I think that especially from the other committees that we have, especially from the small business community, the small business committee. But what you do, I think, is super relevant to our community at BritCham. So I think that the next question is has to be like, what is the best thing to use you and your training skills and digital direction? What's the best thing to use your company for?
If I can say two things, if I'm allowed.
Yeah, sure.
One of them would be if you want to skill up in digital marketing. So if you've got a good overall knowledge of what to do with your website, your channels, your email, but you want to take it to the next level, that would be the first option to really improve your own marketing skills so you can grow the business yourself or with your team. And the second option would be if you've got to the point with your business where everything's going okay, but you feel like you could optimize it and improve it further, or you want to change direction maybe and offer a new product or service, then I do an audit of your website and all your social media channels. And I do analysis as to what's happening at the moment. And then I recommend next steps to move your business forward, or as I say, change direction. So they're the kind of two key ways you can use my business to improve your marketing?
Because I think that, you know, there's the focus of our series so far has been largely around speaking to the bigger platforms out there and getting a kind of big picture idea of how maybe a brand or a large company might use the platform to help promote or advertise on. But really, there's lots of people out there who are individuals in this game and very intimidated by social media itself. And I'm sure lots of people have lots of ideas, but it sounds to me as though what you're really helping people do is find direction and also develop strategy, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you're right. So, I mean, a lot of the stuff we read about digital marketing is aimed at those bigger companies with the bigger budgets and a nice big team to do all the analysis and recommendation for them. But actually, the beauty of social media and digital marketing is that these channels are available to all of us. You know, whether you've got, you know, a one person company or 100 people in your company, we can all use these channels in the same way. So, yes, so I help provide a strategy and I develop plans with my clients so that we can work out which channels they need to focus on in what order to bring everything together to really, you know, move their business to the next level.
We've had a lot of discussion with people about the concept of influencers, the concept of creators on social media. Is that what you're in the business of doing, developing creators and influencers?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I think the way that social media is going at the moment is we all have to be creators. So we have to broadcast our brand, our values, our mission, what we stand for, because that's how consumers are buying at the moment. They're not buying based on price and convenience. They're buying because they're buying into your brand and what you represent. So I think all of us really are content creators. I think from an influencer point of view, that is part of the strategy service that I offer, is to identify influencers that brands can work with in order to improve their reach and improve their engagement. I'm not sure about actually developing influencers. That's not really my game. I just find them.
That's very interesting because as a brand or as somebody who wants to promote themselves or perhaps promote products and services out there, the whole idea of teaming up with or associating oneself with or supporting creators and influencers is extremely important. But the one thing to me that I always get the sense is that that can be a very expensive game.
Well, it doesn't have to be, Andy, actually. I mean, I think these days, you know, these niche influencers and micro influencers are the ones that are getting most traction, certainly on platforms like TikTok and Instagram. And I think it's more about turning the mirror the other way. So looking at the audience and thinking, who are they going to engage with the most? Who are they going to listen to? Who do they trust? Because that's what ultimately we're trying to do, is build up this trust and this connection. And often these days, it's not with these big A-list stars, as much as I'd love to work with some of them. It's with the smaller, you know, more influential influencers, if you can say that. And it's about looking at the engagement that they have on their profile and their account and how much they listen to their audience and what sort of authenticity they generate there. So you want a real connection. So that doesn't have to be expensive.
So beyond, I'm just trying to think of getting into the next sort of question. So in your world and what you see out there, what do you see that's hot, that's trending at the moment in the world of social media? What is it that you really like? And what is it that you think that people should be doing? Obviously, influencers is one thing. Is there anything else that we should be thinking about? Any practical advice you can give us?
Oh my goodness, there's a lot of different things we should be thinking about, Andy. So I'll go through a couple, otherwise we'll be
sure.
Hours and hours. I think, I mean, one of the things that I love about digital marketing is it's always evolving and changing. And I think certainly due to COVID and changing customer behavior over the last 18 months or so, I think we've seen huge leaps and bounds in digital marketing, which may have occurred at some point, but actually we're seeing them come to the market a lot sooner. But I'll pull out a couple of things that I think hopefully will help listeners to improve their marketing strategy. And the first one is really more of a reminder, and that's that authenticity and relevance really does win out. So we've touched on that already by talking about the influencers, but local campaigns here, so like Tiger Beer did a great campaign to link with National Day. They called it The Day Before, and it was all about, you know, how Singapore as a nation was built and what it represents in terms of values, and that really resonated with the audience here, and that that still gets very, very high connection and engagement with their audience. As does, I hate to mention them, but McDonald's. I think they launched like a Nasi Lemak burger a couple of years ago.
Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, and there's been campaigns to pull that campaign back. I mean, they're asking for it to come back, the product. And I think that just shows that, you know, to win your audience, you really need to be relevant and you need to be authentic. So I think we need to bear that in mind with all of our content strategy.
I would say that authentic or authenticity has been the most popular word on this podcast series.
Yeah, well, I think just generally from a marketing standpoint, businesses are moving away from this more kind of curated, manicured, very professional look. I was listening to the LinkedIn version and they're doing this too. So it's more about, you know, people being real. I mean, social media is all about a person connecting with a person, and you wouldn't want to be standing with someone having a coffee or a, you know, pint of beer when they weren't being genuine and authentic. You wouldn't value that conversation. And it's just the same with marketing.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think the audiences can very easily decipher what's real and what's not. And just because you gloss it up and you light it and film it professionally, you know, audiences see straight through that. In fact, that can be very much, especially in this new era of things like TikTok, that can be definitely a big turnoff for audiences. They'll see straight through it, right?
Absolutely. And I think that links into something we've seen with the customer journey from a marketing standpoint, seems to be elongating. So we're, you know, aware, we hear all this data about people spending longer online, and they are, but they're taking longer to make purchase decisions. So they want to make the decision based on their own values, their own beliefs, and they don't want to be told what to do. So I think authenticity really sort of plays into that trend that we're seeing at the moment. So that would be my first one. My second would be video. So for anybody that's been on any of my workshops or live events will know that I'm always talking about video and live video specifically. But this is a trend that has grown and grown, and it's not going away. So I think the forecast is that 80% of all online content will be video by the end of this year. And, you know, various different types of video work. And I know that people are like, oh, I don't want to get in front of the camera, Liz. I don't like it. That's fine. There's different ways of doing video. So the sort of short form video, you could do a recording of your products. You could do a kind of unboxing video. You could do a behind the scenes. It doesn't have to be you looking at the camera. But live streaming has become the norm, really. I mean, I'm sure you found this in your industry as well. You know, going live on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you might be, LinkedIn as well. You know, this is kind of the normal way to communicate now, which has obviously been necessitated by the fact that many of us have been working at home. So live streaming obviously links into that first point as well of being relevant and authentic, because, you know, you're real. You can't hide, can you, when you're doing live streaming? And that tends to work really well for businesses where you're a thought leader, where you're offering a service, or where you're offering a product that needs some explanation. So even, you know, talking about products like, I don't know, jewelry or fashion, you can still do a live stream there and show the different products and ask questions to your audience. So definitely recommend looking at video. And on that point, actually, my son was watching, I think it's Ariana Grande on Fortnite the other day.
So they did
this huge live streaming event. So as well as using it for smaller businesses, obviously larger businesses are jumping onto this trend as well. And I think that was one of their most successful live events they've ever had. Yeah. And in fact, I read this morning that Facebook are doing their first ever film premiere tomorrow on the 19th of August. And it's going to be about the, I think it's called The Outsider. So it's a documentary about the building of the 9/11 memorial in Lower Manhattan. And they're doing it as a full live stream on Facebook. I think it costs about $4 to purchase it, and it's available for 12 hours. So this just shows that, you know, people want to consume live content. I've not seen it happen with the film before, so I'm not sure how that's going to go, because most of Facebook's access is mobile. So I'm not sure about watching the film on a mobile phone. but that's, I think, live streaming is definitely something to look at if you can do it, either on your own or maybe partner up with a complementary brand or a business and do a chat like we're doing now on a podcast. or do an interview with somebody. That often works quite well for live streaming as well.
I think that we can't underestimate the power of video. It's yeah, like you say, it's not going away, and it's fast becoming, if not already, the number one means of communication in the digital space. And live streaming, I mean, certainly in our business, we've seen it just explode in the last 18 months. It's been around for a long time, the idea of live streaming. It's just, I think that what's happened with COVID, it's really been like a catalyst for it, right?
Absolutely. I think when people haven't been able to meet, you know, person to person, you want that direct contact with somebody. You want to be able to ask questions. And I think it goes hand in hand with everybody consuming more video as well. So people are used to seeing talking faces on screens. So it's a good way to communicate. And also, I think it's not just about, you know, brands broadcasting what they want to say to their audience. It's also a really, really good way and a very effective way to get feedback from your audience. So to ask questions, to see what people are thinking and feeling. I'm looking at doing some new workshops, and I'm going to be asking my Facebook group, you know, what sorts of things they want me to include in it. So it's good for product development and building up that connection with your audience as well.
So those are a couple of things that we should be doing on social media. Now, what should we not be doing on social media? And I think this is the most interesting question that we've asked on the pod so far to everybody that's been on. What should we not be doing on social media, Liz?
Brilliant. I feel like I should make one of those mugs. It says keep calm and don't panic. My first one is don't panic, right? Because I think with digital marketing, there is so much going on. And I get asked all the time, oh, I saw this happening with Reels, and I saw this happening with the algorithm. There's been a change to this live streaming, or there's been a change to groups. What do I need to do? And I think, you know, my advice would be to have a really, really clear strategy of what you want to achieve with your social media and your digital marketing as a whole, and stick to that. So TikTok might not be for you. Reels might not be for you. Email marketing might be your best platform. Maybe you don't even need to be on social media. So my first thing not to do is panic. And my answer to that is to have a very clear plan and to have your goals of what you want to achieve. I know everybody gets overexcited about Instagram. It's a very nice channel for small businesses, and they're doing a lot to support businesses by providing social commerce, by providing ways to use influencers and advertising. But actually, maybe that isn't the right platform for your brand and your products. Maybe you'd be better served spending more time on something like SEO or email marketing. So I think it's, don't be wooed by all of these changes and all these shiny new things that happen in digital marketing. That'd be my first one. My second one would be, don't be inconsistent or sporadic. So often I see clients get carried away. They get very enthusiastic about a new skill they've learned. They try it out, they post every day, they do 10 stories, and then next week, nothing. And that doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you, because it's not helping you achieve your marketing goals. And also, it doesn't help your audience, because they don't know what to expect from you. And also, it doesn't help with the algorithm for many of these channels, because if you're inconsistent, that isn't good. They want creators and content creators to make consistently good content to share with their audience. So that would be my advice, is to kind of be consistent, have a plan, and stick to it. And then my last one would be, don't shy away from the camera. So thinking about video, just do it. I mean, I remember doing my first live, and I was really nervous and thinking no one's going to show up, no one's going to say anything. And I really enjoyed it in the end. And I understand it's not for everybody. But I wouldn't just write it off. Don't write off video because you don't want to show your face on camera. Give it a go. Give it a try.
I think something else that's really important is having the right people like yourself around to kind of maybe mentor you, coach you, to help you guide that strategy. You know, especially when it comes to presenting yourself on camera, it's actually quite a refined skill to do that. What I've seen in our business is in the corporate context. You might have a CEO or a very high-ranking person in a company who is brilliant at doing meetings, who can stand in a room and captivate an audience of maybe 5 people or 500 people. But they transfer that to the screen and it's very different. And the skills which are required to take people, tell a story on the screen, for example, are extremely different to telling them to a live audience. So having somebody who's got the knowledge and the experience and the ability to train you to or advise you in techniques like that, I think it's very important, isn't it?
Yes, and I've done that with a few clients this year who have launched their own Facebook group or who want to start doing IGTV more. And as you say, it's just a couple of pointers as to what to do, what not to do. We've done a few run-throughs, a few rehearsals so that people can get used to kind of seeing themselves on the screen. But I do find that once people get stuck in and they've tried it out and it isn't that scary, and you know, engagement for lives is 80, 90% more than it is for regular videos. And I think just getting that feedback instantly from your audience, knowing what questions they're going to ask, what they're interested in, I think that really, really helps you with your marketing for your business, because otherwise it's a silent screen, isn't it? You don't get the feedback from anybody as to whether that's the right message to be telling them and whether you're kind of connecting with them in the most appropriate way.
Fascinating stuff. Okay, so another question for you. Is there anything new in your world that you're seeing? Are there any new developments? Are there any products and services that you're bringing into your sort of a quiver of arrows that you have in providing services? What's new? What's coming up?
Yes, I mean, first of all, in the market, the thing that's kind of excited me the most really is watching the development of augmented reality and virtual reality and seeing how brands are using that really for their marketing. So Sephora here in Singapore, I think, does an absolutely fantastic job of using virtual reality. They were getting not many people obviously coming to their stores recently because of all the restrictions. And they decided to do a kind of virtual reality app on their phone where you could try on the makeup. without going into the store, and then you had like a virtual assistant talking you through your purchases, which very, very simple, but again a nice way of connecting with an audience. And taking that one step further, you know, SK2 from Procter & Gamble, they've done some absolutely phenomenal stuff with AR and VR. They've got these shops, I think, in China and Hong Kong where you it's like gamified, so you play a little game and then you go through to somebody who does like your skin analysis without any contact with any customer service staff in the store, so that once you're ready to buy, you're that much further down that customer journey. And actually they said, I was reading an article about this the other day, they said that even when the customer is waiting in line, when they're queuing to pay, then they encourage them to even then kind of go into this immersive experience of entering their content while they're waiting. And they've got this, you may have seen it, it's animated series focused around the Tokyo Olympics. Taken, I think it's, what's it called, Change Destiny, and they've got 6 different Olympians. I know Simone Biles is one of them because my daughter's a fanatic gymnastics fan. And they've taken some of the kind of societal pressures that these Olympians face and they've made them into animated shorts just to connect with their audience. Yeah. So, you know, you could think, well, what on earth has that got to do with selling cosmetics and skincare? But they're trying to build up that connection with the audience and they're using it as a way to broadcast their mission and their values and their, you know, what they stand for, what they represent. So I think that's a really interesting area to see develop. I mean, I think it's going to take a while before that filters down into small businesses and entrepreneurs, certainly. But, you know, these larger brands like Sephora and SK2, and I heard that Facebook's partnering up with, is it Ray-Ban to do, you know, have another go, the Google Glass concept. So this is all very new at the moment, but I'd be interested to see where that's going. I think from my perspective, so taking it right down the scale to the smaller businesses, I'm certainly looking to develop more digital products. So I found that, you know, I get asked similar questions many times. So one of them is about how to do advertising on Facebook and Instagram. So I thought, well, I'll do an online workshop that people can do kind of self-paced and they can download it and they can ask me questions at the end, just to make it easier, I think, to provide this coaching and mentoring service to more people. So I haven't done it yet, but it's on my to-do list to do before the end of the year, to do these digital products and guides as well, to just help people out.
I think that that would be really, really useful. I mean, I think one thing that's very intimidating to people is obviously how much money they should be spending, obviously, on things like boosting posts or advertising on social media platforms, and then also at the same time how to effectively target and how to learn from sort of campaigns that you might mount yourself, especially if you're doing it yourself. I'm sure that would be really, really useful. And yeah, I'm hearing a lot of stuff from potential clients and clients of ours, requests for things like virtual tours and can we incorporate elements of AR in some of the video productions that we're doing or live events that we're doing. I think that there's a whole completely untapped and really exciting opportunity there with AR and the whole idea of virtual tours and virtual worlds to explore. It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I think it's interesting for me. I often watch what the larger companies do first. I sit back and see what happens and see, okay, how am I going to actually use this for my clients or for my own business? But I think that, you know, trying to use things like AR and VR to make that connection greater with your audience and bring them closer to the products and let them try things out, I think that's a great concept.
But obviously doing it in a way that's relevant, yep, and authentic.
Using video where possible.
Yes, exactly. So on to our final question. What is the one piece of advice you have for marketing and communications professionals during COVID?
Yes, so I think if you're not online or you're not using digital media right now, then you need to be. So that would be my biggest piece of advice, but I'm pretty sure that this far down into COVID, everybody's realised that now. But again, I think, you know, if I could share one bit of advice with everybody, it would be to just be really clear about your digital marketing strategy and what it is you're trying to achieve and just focus on that. So maybe pick, you know, your website and two channels and don't worry about what's happening elsewhere with, you know, all this stuff that we've just been discussing about AR and VR and live streaming. If that isn't relevant for your brand, don't worry about it. Just keep focused on what's going to work for your business. But keep an eye on the, you know, changing behaviors. So people spending more time online, being more considered in their purchasing decisions, and wanting to know more about you and your business and the person behind the scenes, so that they can make that decision based on, you know, your brand and what you represent rather than just your products and services that you're offering.
Sage advice. Thank you very much indeed. That was a great chat. Thanks very much, Liz. If we want to try and find you, how do we do that?
So I am online. So it's digitaldirectionservices.com is the website. I'm on LinkedIn under Elizabeth Taylor and also on Facebook and Instagram under Digital Direction. And I've got a group actually on Facebook called The Marketing Hub. So if anybody wants some free tips and tricks and advice, so I go live in the group every week. And talk about Instagram marketing next week. So if anybody wants to join, it's free to join. Just search for The Marketing Hub on Facebook.
I'm going to do that right after this. Thanks very much indeed.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And that wraps up this episode of the Social Media Playbook, brought to you by the Marketing and Communications Committee at the British Chamber of Commerce in Singapore. My name's Andrew Clark, partner at creative video agency AsiaWorks. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, don't forget to subscribe and rate our channel on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other podcast platforms. For more information about the Chamber, please visit www.britcham.org.sg.